Case number 38 in the Wu Men Quan. A cow goes through a window. The case reads, Wu Zhu said, It is like a buffalo that passes through a window. Its head, horns, and four legs all pass through. Why can't its tail pass through as well? Wu Men's commentary. If you can penetrate to the point of this koan, discern it clearly, and give a turning word to it, you will then be able to repay the four obligations above and give comfort to the three existences below. But if it is not yet clear, pay close attention to the tale, and you will resolve it at last. Wu Men's verse. Passing through, falling into a ditch. Turning beyond, all is lost. This tiny little tale, what a wonderful thing it is. Wu Zhu, whose dates are 1024 to 1104 of the Common Era, was a later Song Dynasty descendant of Lin Ji, and the Rinzai, what is called in Japanese, the Rinzai School of Chan. He was the teacher of Yen Wu, the editor-commentator of the Hekigan Roku, and so a Dharma ancestor of Wu Men himself. Wu Zhu and Yen Wu, master and disciple, are credited with reinvigorating the Lin Ji tradition. And as a matter of history, all modern Rinzai teachers trace their lineage back to Lin Ji through Wu Zhu. Compared to a lot of the Chinese masters, Wu Zhu was ordained relatively late in life. He was about 35 years old. As is not at all uncommon, he began as a scholastic, studying the sutras and other Buddhist writings. But a few occasions are described in which he was suddenly brought up against it. Questions came up for which there were no answers. So eventually he traveled south to find a Chan teacher. How many times have we heard this story? I wonder if there was anybody left in the north. The teacher with whom he settled down was Master Bai Yun at Mount Lu. One day he heard the master say the following during a Taisho. There are several Zen monks from Mount Lu who have had Satori. If you have them speak, they give beautiful talks. If you ask them regarding koans, they answer clearly. If you ask them to write pithy commentaries, they do so nicely. Yet, they have not attained it. Wu Zhu was thrown for a loop. What is Bai Yun saying about his own monks? He is even sounding a little bit cynical here. Is there something missing? Case number one in Robert Aitken's book, Zen Master Raven, reads as follows. When Raven was living near Jackrabbit Roshi, he visited him frequently to inquire about the way. One day he asked, I hear that the Buddha Shakyamuni looked up from beneath the Bodhi tree and saw the morning star and announced his realization. I get the feeling that something is missing from the story. What happened when he saw the star? Jackrabbit laid back his ears, closed his eyes, and said, "He realized the truth of mutually dependent arising." Well, thought Raven, Jackrabbit Roshi seems to know his Buddhism, but maybe I'm not a Buddhist. So he flew off to see Prairie Dog Roshi. When he announced himself, Prairie Dog poked her head out of her burrow and blinked in the bright sunshine. Raven told her about his encounter with Jackrabbit Roshi and asked, "What happened when the Buddha saw the morning star?" Prairie Dog crawled out and stood erect. She crossed her paws on her chest, scanned the horizon briefly, and said, "He realized the underlying fact of oneness." Well, thought Raven, Prairie Dog Roshi seems to know her metaphysics, but maybe I'm not a metaphysician. So he flew off to see Moose Roshi and found him feeding on waterweed in the creek at Cedar Ford. Perching himself on a rock, he croaked for the Roshi's attention. When Moose looked up, Raven told him about his encounters with Jackrabbit Roshi and Prairie Dog Roshi and asked, "What happened when the Buddha saw the morning star?" Moose dipped his face in the creek again and came up munching. "Delicious water weed," he said. "Well," thought Raven, "that sounds more natural." He sat on the rock a moment, but Moose said nothing further and just went on feeding. "Okay," thought Raven, "maybe I'll come back. But for now, I think I'll continue this pilgrimage." So he flew off to see Brown Bear Roshi. Announcing himself, he stood and waited outside the den. Brown Bear eventually emerged and squatted silently on his haunches. Raven told him how Jackrabbit Roshi had said that the Buddha Shakyamuni realized the truth of mutually dependent arising, how Prairie Dog Roshi had said he had realized the underlying fact of oneness, and how Moose Roshi had just said, "Delicious water weed." "What is your opinion, Roshi?" asked Raven. Brown Bear made a strange sound, and Raven couldn't tell whether it was a chuckle or a growl. Finally, he spoke. "Something's still missing," he said. Raven waited respectfully, but Roshi remained silent. "Well," thought Raven, "Brown Bear Roshi seems to know about something. Maybe I should stick around for instruction." Something still missing. All those words of wisdom from all those teachers, and something is still missing. Have they not attained it? And does this apply to ourselves or to the ancestral teachers? Have they and we all failed somehow? Case number 9 in the Wu Men Guan. A monk asked Master Qingjiang of Mount Xiangyan, "The Buddha of great penetration and perfect wisdom did zazen for 10 kalpas on the Bodhi seat, but could not attain Buddhahood. Why was this?" Qingjiang said, "Your question is exactly to the point." The monk persisted, "But he did zazen so long on the Bodhi seat. Why couldn't he attain Buddhahood?" Qingjiang said, "Because he did not attain Buddhahood." Is this Buddha of great penetration and perfect wisdom missing something as well. Maybe we are just too hung up on this business of attainment. That's not surprising. After all, attainment, getting stuff, is the paradigm of our lives, isn't it? We want to get an education, get a driver's license, get a job, get a husband or wife, get children, get a house, get a better job, get a bigger house, get a nicer car, and so it goes. So it is natural to think of spiritual practice, at least in the beginning, as getting something, enlightenment, for instance. It is like a buffalo that passes through a window. Its head, horns, and four legs all pass through. Why can't its tail pass through as well? Passing through a window. Passing through. Remember some of those old Western movies? There's that character that comes riding into town. Where are you headed, stranger? Just passing through. Even in this one lifetime, we pass through so many stages, so many days, so many hours, so many breaths. We pass through birth, growing up, maturing physically, intellectually, spiritually. We pass through courtship, marriage, perhaps raising a family. We pass through stages of a career, or many careers. And around here, we pass through stages of Zen practice and realization. Passing through. Just passing through. In his commentary on another case, in the Wu Men Guan, Master Wu Men writes, "If you are enlightened concerning what real things are, you will know that we pass from one husk to another, like travelers in a night's lodging house." The monks of Mount Lu have had Satori, so they have presumably been passed on Mu. They give beautiful talks, answer clearly, write nice commentaries. But there is something that they still didn't get. Those of us who have entered the teaching path, for better or worse, are in the same pickle. We give talks. We answer questions as best we can. We write commentaries like this one. We are even supposed to have some sort of insight. And yet, for all that, something is missing. Wu Zhu's response to this conundrum, it can hardly be called an answer, is yet another conundrum. This particular case is Wu Zhu's version of Master Bai Yun's challenge, and it is his challenge to us. Buffalo that passes through a window. Head, horns, and four legs all pass through. Why can't its tail pass through as well? I think most of us are aware that this is not an American bison that we're talking about here. This is the Asian water buffalo, a very different animal. For countless generations, these have been the primary beast of burden all over Southeast Asia. Big, powerful and yet so gentle that kids treat them like they were very large pets, taking them to the river to bathe and play in the water. They are still members of many families and the most valuable asset of poor farmers in much of the developing world. In the ox herding pictures, this buffalo is the metaphor for our true nature and the search for realization. A buffalo passes through a window. A rather bizarre image. Some commentators mention that the koan really states that the buffalo is passing through the latticed window of an ox shed. Even stranger. How does a buffalo pass through a lattice window? What is it about the buffalo that allows it to do that? What is it about the lattice window? What is this tail, and why doesn't it pass through the window? You would think that the tail is the one part of the buffalo that could pass through the window pretty easily. But then Wuzhu isn't making anything easy. The buffalo passes through the window. Is it going after something? Is there something to go after? Are we passing through a window of enlightenment in our practice? Is that what it's all about? Going from point A, ignorance, to point B, enlightenment. As long as there is an I going or trying to go from here to there, it is a futile effort. There is something about practice and realization that we tend not to think about. Practice, realization, Buddhahood are all delusions. They are not bad delusions, but they are delusions nonetheless. Sher To writes, "To be attached to things is illusion." Another translation puts it as, "To be attached to things is primordial illusion." What is it that is attached to things? Only the separate self. But that separate self is itself an illusion. So it is all a matter of illusion attached to illusions. As Bernie Glassman puts it, the primordial illusion is that we are deluded in the first place. Doesn't that make you feel better? Dogen says, the truth appears, there being no delusion. So if our ignorance is itself delusion, why are we practicing? Why do we sit here for days and days working like demons to find that which was never lost and could not possibly be lost? A buffalo goes through the window? The notion that there is anything to go through anything else is illusion. The notion that we have to go anywhere else, be anything else, is illusion. Delusion. Wu Men says, you must pass through the barrier set up by the ancestral teachers. But the barrier itself is an illusion. Passing through is an illusion. Recall the title of the Wu Men Guan, the No Gate Gate. And yet we practice. We must pass through the barrier in order to see clearly that there never was a barrier, that we are already there. The buffalo must pass through the window in order to see clearly that tail that does not pass through. We have to go through that window in order to fully and truly realize that wonderful tale which does not pass through. As we continue in our delusive practice, that tale looms larger and larger until there is nothing else. What then is this tale? Wu Men's commentary. If you can penetrate to the point of this koan, discern it clearly and give a turning word to it, you will then be able to repay the four obligations above and give comfort to the three existences below. But if it is not yet clear, pay close attention to the tale, and you will resolve it at last. The four obligations that Wu Men speaks of are parents, all living things, our country or society, and the three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. To our parents we owe our lives and our upbringing. To all living things we owe our place in the universe as part of the great web of life. To our country and society we owe our security, the freedom to earn a living, raise a family. To the three treasures we owe this most important enterprise that anyone can undertake, finding out who we truly are for the benefit of all beings. How will you repay? As Wu Men says, pay close attention to that tale. How do we do that? We continue to engage the practice. We embrace the delusion of practice wholeheartedly, nothing held back. The reality of the delusion becomes clear. The tale is manifest. The emptiness of all things becomes clear, but this is not a negative. Emptiness does not deny reality. It confirms it. Wu Men's verse. Passing through, falling into a ditch, turning beyond, all is lost. This tiny little tale, what a wonderful thing it is. Passing through, falling into a ditch. Is there a time when we can say, aha, now I'm enlightened? Don't ever pull that one in Dokusan. The very notion of full enlightenment is suspect. There are people who advertise weekend workshops in meditation, at the end of which you get a certificate of enlightenment. As you might expect, these usually happen in Boulder. I think most of us here know better. It is said that the Buddha himself was only about halfway through his training at the time of his parinirvana, that he is still off in the Tushita heaven, practicing away. There is no beginning to practice and no end to enlightenment. No end to practice, no beginning to enlightenment. Or as one Baptist radio preacher put it, saving the soul is a continuous process. C.S. Lewis is best known for his Narnia books for young people, but he was also a profound religious thinker. Coming from the perspective of an Anglican theologian, he puts it about as well as anyone. He writes, "We need not suppose that the necessity for something analogous to self-conquest will ever be ended, or that eternal life will not also be eternal dying. It is in this sense that, as there may be pleasures in hell, God shield us from them, there may be something not at all unlike pains in heaven. For in self-giving, if anywhere, we touch a rhythm not only of all creation, but of all being. From the highest to the lowest, self exists to be abdicated, and by that abdication becomes the more truly self, to be thereupon yet the more abdicated, and so on forever. This is not a heavenly law which we can escape by remaining earthly, nor an earthly law which we can escape by being saved. What is outside the system of self-giving is not earth, nor nature, nor ordinary life, but simply and solely hell. What Lewis calls hell, we would call samsara. But they come to pretty much the same thing. Think about it. Is there any conceivable end to that self-awareness of the universe? Is there an end point somewhere to all that which is? The buffalo will never stop passing through the window. We will continue to pass through, and we will never stop realizing the tail. It is the nature of practice. The buffalo goes through the window. That is its miracle. The tail does not. That is its miracle, and they are the same miracle. Turning beyond, all is lost. What is beyond enlightenment? Beware of the facile answer here. Once a monk came before Mazu and drew a circle in front of him. He then entered the circle, bowed, and stood still. This was a very traditional way of demonstrating one's enlightenment or attainment. The patriarch asked him, "Is it that you want to become a Buddha?" The monk replied that he no longer created illusions about Buddhas and ordinary beings. The patriarch said, "I am not as good as you." The buffalo going through the window is not just about life, nor is it about so-called reality of time and space. It must be about life as practice, the life of awareness, moment by moment. Each one of us has to continue to go through window after window, gate after gate. Only then does the buffalo eventually realize the tail. This practice is ongoing. There is no end to it. This tiny little tail, what a wonderful thing it is. Wonderful indeed. But you cannot seek it out. You cannot chase after it. You cannot find it. But if you continue to practice, it will eventually seek you out. Together with all beings, we realize Buddhahood.